Lisa and Tim Mahan with Spirit Life Ministries. Welcome.
Hello, everyone.
We're excited. We've been praying about and asking the Lord what we should be discussing today to encourage you guys to get out and to remember how easy it is to go evangelize, minister to people. You're a believer. You want to minister to people, bring Jesus to them. And so the topic that we came up with is, you want to share it?
Yeah, we are reminiscing about the ministry beginnings. So what we mean by that is we're sharing a little bit of our testimony about how God started up the ministry in our hearts that we're doing today, and hopes, again, like you said, that it just can show people how easy it is to go out and evangelize, to share the gospel with people.
Yeah, I know, right? Because evangelize, that word is often terrifying to people.
I think, yeah, because mainly when, at least I know, like when I used to hear the word evangelize, I would think of actual evangelists, you know, people that would stand on the stage and preach the gospel to hundreds or thousands or, you know, 10,000 people in Africa and stuff like that. And yeah, to me, that would be a little disconcerting.
So Billy Graham.
Yeah.
All of the biggies, that the big ones that would stand up and just
the big guns,
the big guns come out and hundreds and thousands of people get saved. And it puts a pressure on the believer to think that that is the only way that people are going to get saved, or that they have to step in those shoes and do that way. Right.
Yeah. And God bless people like that. You know, God had given, like Billy Graham, we said his name,
they're
so we'll
amazing.
Use him as the example. God gave him grace to do that and the ability to do that. And, you know, it's through that grace that millions, literally millions of people have been led to Christ through, you know, his ministry. And that's awesome. So some people are called to fill roles like that. But for people that are not, like for the rest of us, that can be a little intimidating. So we want to say up front, when we use the word evangelize or evangelism, it's just sharing the gospel, whether it's you talking to one person or you talking to a million people.
And usually we mean that in the context of getting out of the four walls of the church and not just in your bubble, right? Sharing Jesus, not just with the people that you meet every week that need prayer that you know, but the people that really don't know God.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, you want to just start with maybe like at the beginning. So we're calling this ministry beginnings. Yeah. We're reminiscing about that.
Exactly. So I guess to start, though, we need to tell a little bit of our story.
I was born. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not going that. I was about to say that far back, but that would make you sound really old. I didn't mean it that way. I'm older than she is.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. So I'm 6 days older than her. But
he's,
anyway.
Yep. Tim is my old man.
Yep. Six days old. So Lisa and I, we met back in 2009. And we met in a Bible study, which is awesome. And there's a story in itself with all of that.
That's another reminiscing about story. Yeah. Yep.
So we met in 2009. We were actually married in August of 2010. And when God brought us together, he laid ministry on our hearts pretty early. I don't know if we recognized it really then. But let's see, we were married in August of 2010, and then in December of 2010, you were already volunteering at the local rescue mission. You were answering phones for a good friend of ours now. We didn't really know him then, but you were answering phone calls and calling people back and doing some of the local missions work.
Yeah, and even before that, I'm going to go back just a smidge. And in our Bible study that we were having with the church that we met at Rocky Mountain, I don't mind saying it, Rocky Mountain Calvary, we met there, and we were also ministering a little bit in our Bible study to some of our fellow believer friends. And we didn't really realize, like Tim said, I think that's why you were thinking that. We didn't really realize then that that's kind of a direction that God was going to be taking us. Because we were praying with people and, kind of just ministering to them together and praying with them together. And it wasn't a huge, huge thing, but it was definitely the start.
Yeah. So the teamwork was there in the beginning.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, amen.
Amen.
So we were answering phones. I was answering phones. And then the friend of ours that we met at the mission, he asked us if we would maybe consider being a pastoral care prayer couple on the weekends at the local mission. And I was like, yeah, I think we could do that. And he said, I really just want you guys to pray with people. And I want people to come to the mission knowing that they can get the stuff that they need, food, clothing, etc. But I also want them to know that they can have prayer and people can pray with them and they can be, you know, they can be loved here because him and his wife are really love God and love people. So he was like, I just really, you know, we were volunteering. We weren't getting paid. It was just pastoral care couple. And I approached him with that and we prayed about it, thought about it. We didn't think too hard. I mean, we just were like, yeah, that sounds like something that we would love to do.
Yeah. And you know, we envisioned when we first started doing that, we envisioned, you know, like hundreds of people coming up for prayer and just this massive breakout of, you know, God moving in the crowd there. And it really didn't happen that way, did it?
No, it didn't happen that way. We envisioned, okay, pastoral prayer couple, oh my goodness, there's going to be hundreds, like you said, coming up. And I think there were about 10 per time. And only maybe 10 or 20 that were had real amazing stories at later on when we were continuing to pray for people, because we did that for years. And like you said, started that in 2010. So we would go into the lobby. We were nervous. So for anybody who's nervous, that's listening to this, that's thinking, I want to do outreach, but I get nervous every single time.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club, because we're not supposed to be relying on our own strength. We're supposed to be relying on the Holy Spirit's strength and God's strength to minister to people anyway, when we're believers sharing Jesus in any way, or just loving people, or however God's having you minister to people. It's supposed to be on His shoulders and not this big weighty nervous thing, which we're going to be honest, we were nervous. And it was intimidating because we would hang out in the lobby. The guy there that's our friend was our friend. He would do the announcements. He would have everything in order. That was Gary. I'll just call him Gary. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You can call him that because that was his name.
That was his name. I was trying to think of his last name, but Gary would do the announcements. And there were a couple of other, there were a lot of different volunteers that really were helping doing things. And then Gary would announce at the end that we would pray with whoever was there that wanted prayer. And we would kind of go, oh no, they're going to come for prayer, but we wanted them to come for prayer. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And kind of to step back just a second, you know, you were talking about how nervous we were when we first started. And I remember that first day, and I remember being in the lobby with all of these people that we didn't know. And I didn't have a clue what to say. You know, I didn't have a clue how to even really approach or talk to anybody. And it's like you said, Lisa, it was me trying to rely on my strength and my ability.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize at that time, because we were so early in our ministry, that God was the one that was going to take care of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my word of encouragement to anybody out there who is, like you said, maybe nervous to do outreach, it's the victory really is just in showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you show up, once you decide that, once you make up your mind that you're going to go out and mm-hmm. talk to somebody, God will meet you in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And that is enough for Him to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And He can use you to minister to people. And, you know, it took a little while for us to realize that. It took a little while for the nervousness to kind of go away to where we were, you know, at least more comfortable doing mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. And since we're landing on that, I'm thinking about how when we get saved as a Christian, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, how many of us are not taught to share that good news with other people. And sometimes it's because the good news that we learned wasn't even that good.
Right.
And so when we get saved, but there's like this transformation that happens in our hearts when we receive Jesus, but sometimes we're not taught in our circles, in our inner circles at church or Bible studies, that this is something that is not just for the evangelists that are in the office, the Billy Grahams, the big time evangelists, the big shoes. This isn't just for them. This is for every believer. It's not a gift of evangelism. It's a gift of salvation that you get to share because your life was transformed and you're different. And so because of that, you get to share that. And so I think that I was just thinking, I mean, well, we've talked about it before, but I was just thinking about how we don't share it readily because we were not taught.
Yeah. The scripture that comes to mind, we talked about this before. We talk about it quite often in when we're talking to groups and stuff, but 2 Timothy 4:5, in that letter from Paul to Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, who was a pastor at Ephesus, but Paul tells him to do the work of an evangelist to make full proof of his ministry. And paraphrasing what that means is Paul was telling Timothy, hey, I know you're a pastor. You're not a quote unquote evangelist, like in the office of an evangelist, you know, Ephesians 4:11-12. But you still, as a pastor, need to do the work of an evangelist. Mm-hmm. And in turn, what that will do is it will increase your ministry. It will make it more powerful. And I think that any believer can take that verse and apply it to us. And whatever role we're in or whatever God's called us to do, we should do that also being an evangelist or also sharing the gospel in the process to make full proof or to improve whatever that calling is that God's placed on our life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I work in the marketplace also. I should be evangelizing. Mm-hmm. You know, that increases what I'm doing. That brings more value to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so if you're called to be something in the ministry or outside the ministry, do the work of an evangelist. Mm-hmm. You're still a minister. Mm-hmm. You know, as a believer, you're a minister, but do the work of an evangelist, and whatever it is you're doing in your ministry will be increased. It'll be improved. And I don't just mean increased by numbers, mm-hmm. or, you know, monetary value or that sort of thing, but just in power, it will be increased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's good because I don't think that we think of it that way. We think we're either in ministry or not in ministry.
Right. We're always in ministry.
Oh, yeah.
That's the point, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. So we are always in ministry. If you're a believer, guess what?
No pressure.
If you're a believer and you have Jesus in your heart, relationship with him, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have been transformed, you are in ministry.
Amen.
And yep. That's just part of it. You bring light to darkness. You are always lit up, whether you feel lit up or not, and you're ready to share. And whether I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but whether you've gone to school, whether you've have a theological degree, you're qualified because of Jesus. So, yeah, you need some experience, but you still are qualified because you have been given this great gift from God.
Yeah. And kind of to go back a little bit, you know, we were talking about working at the mission and how nervous we were in the beginning. But because we were willing to show up, you know, God really moved there. Mm-hmm. I mean, nervous or not, we showed up. Mm-hmm. And because we were there, God was able to use us. Mm-hmm. And we did see some pretty miraculous things there. I mean, there was a lady that was healed from throat cancer. Mm-hmm. Right? She wanted prayer. And to be honest, I don't know how confident we were in that lady being healed at that time. We didn't really have, at least I didn't really have a super great understanding of healing. But that lady knew that God was a healer. And mm-hmm. she just wanted somebody to pray and agree with that. And mm-hmm. man, God worked and the cancer was gone out of her throat.
I remember her, and I remember that she was super excited that people were there to pray with them now, because that hadn't been there before. And I remember her being super excited and even saying, like, lay your hands on my neck and pray. And I think she had enough faith for
all of us
and was believing, and we believed with her and prayed for her throat cancer to go away. And lo and behold, she came back and said it was gone, and she was expecting it to be gone. So she believed God. And so that was an amazing story. I remember the another guy who came in, and he ended up becoming a pastor, and he thought he might I think he had walked away from church, actually, which is another story, which makes me think about, you know, when we started doing the pastoral prayer couple stuff at the mission, we were seeing people who had walked away from God for 3 years, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years. We were seeing people who had prayed in their prayer language years before and had stopped, people who were just not really connecting anywhere, not doing, not having any kind of advancement, or they'd gotten bitter or something had happened with them, or pastor's kids. We were seeing a whole bunch of different people who are believers, but that weren't in the other. So there was like two different planets. There was, you know, the believers, and then people who were, they were believers, but they were just coming in. They were having a hard time and needing encouragement and needing more encouragement in that season than they had in other seasons. And so it really showed, and I think that's what sparked in us to have outreach ministry, was because we saw for several years that we did this volunteering. I'm trying to remember how long, but anyway, for several years, we saw this over and over and over and over again. And it was just, it was like, wow, there's a huge chasm here. But anyway, I kind of digressed. You were starting to go into different ways that God moved.
Oh, no, that's good. That's part of it. I mean, right? Mm-hmm. We did see people of, you know, all different levels of faith, and that's a snapshot of the world. So, you know, to those who are listening, you know, when you do go out and minister, you're going to run into people, and some of you know this already, but you're going to run into people that may be a believer, but maybe they walked away from God, or maybe there's something that they're struggling with or don't quite understand, you know, when it comes to their Christian walk, or, you know, even of God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it's important to realize that evangelism or outreach is not solely for the unbeliever. I mean, we're looking for unbelievers, but we're also going to pray for people who are believers that need prayer for something, because we all do.
Yeah. And then that goes into perhaps when we have outreaches and we go to places that are businesses and pray for their businesses, or pray for with them in agreement for different things going on in their life. We've had over the years people who are on outreaches, not just at the local mission, but people who are surprised to see believers out, or they're shocked, or they're like, I can't believe you're here. I'm in the middle of this world, this chaos store, and all this craziness going on, whatever spiritual vibe is there. And you guys just came in and prayed with me and reminded me that I'm not alone. I have Jesus and I'm okay. I'm going to make it, right? And yeah, we all need encouragement.
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. And again, it just, all it takes is you being willing to step out and maybe, you know, move outside of your comfort zone and make the decision that you're going to minister to people, or you're going to share the gospel with someone. And then, like we said before, if you're willing to do that, God can meet you there, and things will happen, and you'll be amazed at how he moves. You'll see something happen, and what that does in turn is increase your faith. Then you'll be a little bit bolder. You'll see something else happen. Your faith will be increased even more. And before you know it, you won't be able to shut up. You're going to be sharing the gospel with everybody.
And that's what we have experienced ourselves in starting out being intimidated, and going from being intimidated and not knowing what to say or how to do things, and moving from intimidation and lack of confidence to being confident and remembering and relying on the Holy Spirit for how, when, where, what to say to people. And that's super important. But you will definitely move from intimidated to not intimidated. And I'm thinking of different people who have come out with us, some that had come for, because people come out on outreach with us, and some come for a month, some come once, some go out on an outreach with us and they stick with us for a year. And we've seen people go from, they're scared to talk to anyone, they're shy, and they say, I can never talk to anyone, to, hey, we're like, hey, get back here. Don't, where are you going? Come back. We can't keep up with you. So, which is wonderful. We want that. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here.
Amen. Yeah. And it's, you know, back to the mission again, you know, it started out maybe, I don't remember if that lady was like one of the first people we prayed with or not. It seemed like we were there for a little while, but, other things that happened, there was a guy named Gary that comes to mind who, mm-hmm. Well, let me back up.
Different Gary.
Yeah. Not the one you had mentioned before, but the rescue mission at that time had a program for men who were coming off of alcoholism or drug abuse. Mm-hmm. And it was it like a 90-day program? I can't remember.
I think so. Or was it a year? I can't.
Oh, actually, I think it was a year.
A year. Yeah. I think they still have that program in addition to more, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, so Gary was a guy who was wanting to get into the program. And so we prayed with him and he actually ended up getting in and it totally turned his life around. I remember, you know, after he graduated that program, I guess a year later, he had an apartment, you know, and a town close by. He invited us over. We went and hung out with him. We had lunch with him a couple of times. And it was just really neat seeing that transition. Granted, it was over a year's time, but that transition from Gary at the beginning to, you know, Gary when we had last seen him. So it was awesome seeing God move in his life that way. And another guy, I don't want to get into too many testimonies here, but because that's terrible sharing testimonies, right? But another guy named Mike, he came in and he was homeless at that time. And he hadn't, I don't know if he'd never heard the gospel. Well, he had never accepted Jesus. We know that. And so we shared the gospel with him and he was amazed at how easy it was, you know, just to believe. And so he got saved. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, he was praying in tongues. And his life was radically changed too. He got off the streets. He had an apartment for a while. And unfortunately later in his life, he kind of took a dip and went back to some of his previous ways or issues. But we still saw God move in that man's life.
That was miraculous because he actually wasn't understanding the gospel like many of us. And so I remember him getting lit up, like his whole countenance changed. And it was because Jesus touched him when we prayed with him, and also because of the other amazing volunteers and staff that worked at the mission at the time that we know spoke into his heart. And so I remember lots of people working with him, but I just remember him changing. So he went from beating himself up like crazy to, this is good news. Like, this is actually gospel good news. And he lit up, his face changed, his countenance changed. He was a different person when he realized it. And I remember Tim and I had a little room we would sit in and pray with people. And I remember calling back for prayer if they wanted it. And I just remember Tim explained it to him and I was sitting next to him and it was just, he couldn't believe it. He said, this is the gospel. And I can't believe it. And when he received it and said yes, he was just different.
Yeah. And kind of to reiterate what we were saying before, you know, just about being present or going out and letting God move. When we shared the gospel with Mike, I don't believe at that time I felt like an expert on the gospel at all. Mm-mm. You know, it was simply just sharing things the way that I understood. And I probably talked a little bit about my testimony to him, and you probably shared some of your story too, Lisa. But that's the point is, you don't have to be a theologian to get out and to share the gospel. It is simply telling people about Christ in your words and through your experiences and what the Bible says too, of course. But you don't have to have this great presentation. Because I'm sure we did not have a great presentation.
I know that we did not. Yeah. And we still have room to grow always. And we're always going to be growing.
I'm pretty close to perfect. No, I'm so far away from being perfect. But the point is, there I go trying to make jokes again. But the point is, you don't have to get to a level.
No, you don't have to get to a level because, I mean, even from that, we realized later from time that we needed more of a biblical foundation, and we went to Charis Bible College for 3 years. So we got married in 2010, and then we went to Bible college. We ministered at the rescue mission and also
a retirement home.
Did a Bible study in a local retirement home for a year. And we were at the same time kind of going out with this church called Passion City Church downtown Colorado Springs. And he was teaching us about treasure hunting. And we'll get into that later. But we were actively doing things outside of the four walls of the church. And then at the same time, simultaneously, we were drawn and called to go to Charis Bible College to get a better foundation. And so I guess the point that you're making, because we graduated from there in 2014 from third year ministry, and this is where our ministry was born. This is how this started with our quote unquote ministry. And it's changed over the years. But the point being, getting back on your point, is just that you don't have to have to go to school, because some people will listen to things and go, I'm not going to school. I'm not paying for that. I'm not doing that. And I'm just going to say, you're right. You don't have to go to school. You need to read your Bible and you need to have the Holy Spirit, and you need to be in know people and be in relationship with people that are fellow believers. And that's the foundation that I think that you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, my lack of biblical knowledge, I think, we'll say it this way, God looked at me and said, I think this dude needs some schooling, right? So I needed
get
that.
Get to school.
Get to school, boy. I needed that, but
yeah,
I think your
point.
Yeah,
I needed that too.
Yeah, I think your point is you don't have to go to Bible college to minister the gospel. Some people do. That's what God calls them to do. That's what he called us to do.
Yeah.
But don't think because you don't go to Bible college that you can't minister to people, or, you know, you're at the level you need to be at when you get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when you get saved, you're at the level you need to be at to share the gospel. Anything on top of that is icing on the cake. But you don't have to go through this big, long, you know, years of training or anything like that. But like you said, Lisa, you should be reading your Bible and mm-hmm. praying. You should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's where the foundation truly comes from.
Mm-hmm.
We love Bible college. It changed our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we went. We had to go.
Yeah, I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm grateful that we were able to go.
Yeah, I don't know that. Well, I know I would not be equipped right now. I would not feel equipped right now if it weren't for Bible college. Again, you're equipped when you're saved. I just didn't realize that it took Bible college to show that to me.
Right. And it was a great growth time at Bible college and realization even more of the gospel, because we went to Charis Bible College, which is very heavy gospel, thankfully. And we received what we needed to receive. But even in that, so if you're God's not telling you to go to Bible school, don't go. And we were told, and we had different if different things happen that caused us to realize that we needed to go. And so we did. But if you're thinking, well, I don't want to go and I'm equipped enough, then what do I do? And I would say, listen to your heart and think about how it was that you got saved. So you can share how you got saved with someone else. You can share with what Jesus did for you and the transformation in your heart based on how you received God. How did you receive God? I mean, that what you're saying, Tim, is that's enough. Like that is enough to have you share with someone else to show them how to get saved. So it's anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he came to save people, not condemn them. So you would need to know some basic scriptures to walk somebody through salvation. But if you receive Jesus, then you're able to share that.
Amen. Yeah, that's exactly it. And again, if God's calling you to do something to help you prepare to become a more powerful minister, then by all means, of course, do what God's calling you to do,
mm-hmm.
Like he called us to Bible college. But don't wait for all of that to happen before you minister. And really, you know, the Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples, you know, to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. They would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the reason they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit was to be witnesses for Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And that's the key. When you have the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. let me put it this way, Jesus, the disciples had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before their ministry could start or before they could really go out and minister.
Yes.
Right. And so that's what we need today is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Right. When you're saved, you have a testimony. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you can share that. Mm-hmm. There is another step, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will make you the minister you need to be to share the gospel, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That does make sense. And I just think that, you know, that is what you need is that foundation. You need the foundation and relationship with Jesus, and then you're good to go. And I know that we need more because the thing is that we're always going to be learning and growing. I'm reading several books right now. There's certain people that I do watch on social media that have teachings that I like. There's certain ministers I do follow, but sometimes it becomes way too much. I don't need 500 different ministers. I need the word and a good concordance. And I need the Holy Spirit to teach me, which is one of the Holy Spirit's jobs, or what one of the things the Holy Spirit loves to do, actually.
Right.
And then I need good articulation with God and with other people that I trust. I don't need all of the, you know, because sometimes we get addicted to teachings and we get addicted to conferences and we get addicted to so much that I think we get confused, and the enemy actually uses that a little bit to keep us back instead of just having this free flow and going out like the disciples and ministering to people.
Yeah, that's exactly what the enemy's doing, right? He's always trying to convince us that we are not equipped or we are not enough. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing wrong with obviously going to conferences or anything like that, but
if you're
looking to go from conference to conference to conference to conference to conference, trying to get built up to be able to go do something, I think the enemy's working in your life a little bit and convincing you maybe that you're not enough as mm-hmm. you are already.
Mm-hmm. Or even your soul is like not getting that you're complete.
Right. And so you have to realize, number one, again, when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit upon you. Those are two different experiences, right?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm sure at some point we'll talk more about the baptism and the Holy Spirit on an episode. But the bottom line is when you have the Holy Spirit, you are equipped, mm-hmm. right? Even if you are brand new and, again, nervous like we were in the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
step out with the knowledge that you have, and the Holy Spirit is more than enough to utilize you to minister to people outside the four walls of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just got to do it.
Yeah. I envision someday the church having church outside on Sundays everywhere. I can see a whole Sunday, first Sunday of the month of each year, church outside of the four walls of outside of the building, talking with people and praying for people and ministering to people where they're at, and not with the goal of having a notch in their belt to say, this is how many people I prayed with, or this is what's going on, but to actually go out and bring light to darkness, because we're all distracted and we're all busy and we really need to get out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just as easy as taking that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, Nike had it right. Just do it.
Right? Yeah.
We're going to steal their motto. Just do it. Just step out one time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let's do that. We ask you one time. We dare you to go out one time and talk with one person about the gospel.
Yeah.
And just watch a couple of things. Number one, you'll be amazed at how easy it is. But number two, you will see God move through you in a way maybe you didn't know that he would, or maybe you've never experienced him moving through you that way.
Yeah.
So that's your challenge, is to go out and to talk to one person if you've never done it before.
Ooh, challenge.
Challenge, yeah. I challenge you. Double dog dare.
Yeah.
Which we know is the most high level dare there is.
Yeah.
I double dog dare you to go out and to talk to one person, at least one person.
Yeah. And we have 2 weeks left in this month. So just one person this month that you don't know, that you've never talked to before, or that you've talked to before that you think they might be interested in Jesus. And you're like, I don't know. I wanted to ask them, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just ask them, are you a believer? Mm-hmm. And just see where God takes that conversation from that one question.
Mm-hmm. Are you a believer? And just see what they do and see what they say. Make it a little project.
Yeah. And you can email results back to us if you want, or you can ask us questions or anything. We're happy to answer questions at any time. But if you do something like that, especially if it's your first time, email us and tell us about the experience. Tell us about what happened. Mm-hmm. And tell us how God moved in that experience.
Mm-hmm. And remember, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus made a way so we could be close to God and we would have our sins forgiven, and that we would be free and innocent, and that we would not die but live forever with Christ. I mean, there's more, for that we would be healed. We would be set free.
Yeah, delivered.
Delivered.
All of it.
All of it. So, so I like that. I think we should end with a challenge. So, because we're going on 36 minutes, it looks like. So I think a challenge to end on is good. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to end it.
Do you want to pray us out?
Absolutely. So, Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's in us. And for those of us that are baptized in a Holy Spirit, I'm thankful for your Spirit upon us. And it's through your Spirit that there is strength and boldness to go out and to speak to people and to share the good news of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Mm. And Lord, I just pray that anyone who listens to this at any point, if there is any doubt or trepidation in going out, that they would just feel a boldness to go out, that they would have the desire to go out and to talk to people, to share the gospel, and to see how and watch you move powerfully through that event or through those events. And so we thank you for this opportunity to share, God. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. And I agree, Lord. We thank you for this time. And we just pray for anybody who's listening that's ever felt intimidated or has had a lack of confidence, that would be changed right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, so if you guys want to reach out to us, again, our email is spiritlife.814@gmail.com. That's spiritlife.814@gmail.com. And our website is www.spirit-life-ministries.org.
Yes.
I always look at Lisa when I say that because I'm afraid I'm going to get that one wrong. But she confirmed it.
So. It's true.
Yep. So reach out to us anytime. And until next time, we speak blessings over you. And thank you for listening.